prepare our hearts to hear the word of God preached. Let's read Luke 11, verse 28 together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
You can open God's word, whether it be a hard copy or on your phone or tablet or whatever you might have, to Luke chapter 14. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in verse 15. So Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, under the title of Fill My House. Fill My House. Fill My House. All right, so I guess, was our anniversary last week? It was last week, wasn't it? 16 years we've been married, Heather and I. And we talked about this before we even got married, that we wanted to fill our house, okay? I remember talking about it, you know, I told her, we need 12 disciples. We need 12 disciples that will become apostles. And so we had John, which, the firstborn, and then we had Simon, you know, Simon Peter. And then we had Anna, and Anna's in Luke chapter 2. She was a woman filled with the Holy Spirit waiting for Christ. And then Grace, because God is gracious and merciful. And then Ethan. Ethan wrote Psalm 89. Like, not our Ethan, but another Ethan. And he was known as being one of the wisest of all. And so there's five. Our first apartment was only one bedroom. And so, and then we had a two-bedroom apartment. And then we had, I don't know, like a two- or three-bedroom house, I guess, three bedrooms. But Phil, we wanted a full house. And here's my question for you this morning. Do you think that God wants his house to be full? Do you think God wants his house to be full? You say he doesn't think in terms of houses and buildings. I know. Let me show you a picture. This is a church service, okay? And as you can see, there are a lot of people. Do you think that's good or bad? Well, I guess it depends on what's going on inside there. Do they have a golden cow that they're worshiping? I mean, that's important to ask, right? Are they compromising the message? That's an important question, okay? If you go into this facility and up there on the stage there's a golden cow, you should probably go home, even if it's full. If you go into a place like this and the person teaching and preaching is compromising the message in some way, I mean, either taking away from God's word, taking away from the gospel, or adding to it, then, I mean, we know that you can do all types of gimmicky things to fill up buildings. We know that, right? But this is just my question. Do you think that God wants his house to be full? Now, I know what you're saying. House. Does that mean a building? It certainly does not mean a building. But is it less than a building? I mean, what if, just hypothetically speaking, what if every single church that had a building in Gadsden was full every single weekend, not because they were worshiping golden calves, and not because they were compromising the message of the gospel or God's word in any way? What if they were all full? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Would it be a good thing or a bad thing? And if they were full of people who really, I mean really loved God, were really his disciples, they loved Jesus. I mean people like you. Would you want more people like you in a facility worshiping the one true God and then scattering from that facility, worshiping him every day of the week? Would you want more Terry Southerns? I would. What if we had like 100 more Terry Southerns in this facility? Wouldn't you want that? Terry's like the only one who doesn't want that. Brenda wants 1,000 more, but she has a heart for only one. But like him, right? I mean, wouldn't you want more if, again, remember, if they're not worshiping golden calves and the message is not being compromised or diluted or added to in any way? And my question is not, can you hypothesize about that? My question is, does God want that? Does he want a full house? Now, again, we know that it's way more than buildings and it's way more than houses, but my question is it less than that? I mean, here's what I would say. Recently, I'm trying to get out in the community as much as I can, and a school administrator, a principal, came to me and said, "Hey, when do y'all want to start using our auditorium?" I don't know. He brought that on me. What if you could fill up an auditorium with people who loved God? I mean, people who are coming to know Christ genuinely, their lives are being transformed because the message is not being compromised, not being diluted, not being watered down, and they're not worshiping golden calves. But people were really coming to know Christ, and they were really growing. So more disciples and better disciples. Sometimes we think that they have to be competing. Is it possible? This is my question. Is it possible to have more disciples and better disciples? Is it possible to be deep and wide? Or can you only be deep? Or can you only be wide? Or can you only be really evangelistic? Or can you only really teach and disciple people well? Can you do both? These are questions. So I want us to look at Luke chapter 14, verse 15 to 24, and see if we can answer this question, maybe from this text of Scripture. So would you stand with me as we read it together? Luke chapter 14, verse 15 through 24. Let's pray even before we read it. Father, we look to you, we look to your word, and we want to honor you, we want to worship you, we want to serve you. God, we want to serve you. We realize that we are here as your people to serve you. And yet, we confess that oftentimes we are distracted by the trivial things of this life. God, land, cars, relationships. And yet, Lord, we see all of those things as good gifts from you. But we do not want those things in any way, part of the creation, to take your place on the throne of our hearts. And so, oh God, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Make us a kingdom people and teach us what that means. And teach us what it means to fill your house. Teach us what it means to obey you, to serve you. And so, Lord, our hearts are open. And we pray that you would show us wonderful things from your word even now. And do the work in our hearts by your spirit that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing. Let's read it. I'll read it to you. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" You can be seated. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Everybody in this room likes to eat. Everybody likes to eat. And can you envision with me what blessedness, life with God forever will be like? Eating bread. The choicest of bread, the choicest of drink, the choicest of his creation. I mean, maybe this image will help you. This child just taking a bite of this bread, enjoying it, delighting in it. Somebody was sitting at the table with Jesus at this banquet that he had been invited to by one of the Pharisees, and not just a Pharisee, but a ruler of the Pharisees. And we've seen all that was happening around those tables. If you haven't been here over the last few weeks, go back and read those texts, and you can even listen to the messages to help you understand them better. But there's a guy sitting there, and he says, "Blessed are those who will eat bread in the kingdom of God, where God rules and reigns." And yes, that is a blessed thing. But why does Jesus take that comment and then tell another story like he so often does? Well, here's why. We're learning this, right? Jesus was always getting to people's hearts. So what made this man say that? What was driving him? What was motivating that response? Blessed are those who eat bread in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus tells a story. And the story went like this. There was a man. He was the master of a house. And that man invited. So you ever got an invitation? We talked about this last week. An invitation to a banquet. Let's suppose it was a wedding banquet. Have you got an invitation like this? You're invited to a wedding banquet. Now, a banquet implies there's going to be lots of food, and it's going to be really good. And there's going to be lots of people. In fact, if you invite many people like this man did in the story, then you expect a lot of people to come. You expect it to be filled with people, filled with food, filled with fun, and real joy and celebration. And so, can you envision the banquet hall prepared for God's people? Where they will feast with him forever and ever. This is the vision of heaven, which is a new heavens and a new earth, where we have real bodies and they're resurrected bodies and the best of relationships and the best of the creation, but even most bestest, if you might. Most bestest is that we will be with God and we will see him face to face. Psalm 34 says it this way. I hope you've taken this invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. Have you tasted him yet? Or do you think that Christianity and this religious thing is just a game, is just externals, is just things that you do that you have to endure even? Or do you see an invitation to a celebration, to a joy that lasts forever? That changes the way that you think about your own Christian life, and it changes the way that you invite people like this man who invited many. So, it's just a question. Are you inviting people to this banquet? Are you? Are you inviting people to this banquet? He invites many people, and the reason why we don't invite people is because we tried, and guess what? They rejected us. Or they told us they would come to the banquet and they never showed up. That's happened to you? You know how many times that's happened to me? You know how many people I've probably invited to a church service over my years who told me they were coming and they never came? So many that if I wasn't a Christian, I would have like been so depressed. Okay? But here's the good news. I think this is good news. In this story, the master is God, obviously, right? Jesus is telling the story of God, the master who invites people to a banquet, and even they make excuses when it comes time to show up. You're in good company, okay? The man in the story, Jesus said, he invited many people, and he invited them ahead of time. He sent out an invitation, and in the first century, there would be essentially two invitations. One that would go ahead of time, it's coming in the days to come. And then, like we even do today, when the day of the banquet comes or the day before, we'll send out a little reminder. Hey, bing, the banquet's tomorrow. You told me you were coming, so you RSVP'd, and that's why I bought a lot of food, and that's why I got a lot of chairs set up, and that's why we got all these tables. And so I'm just reminding you that the banquet's tomorrow. And then what happens when you begin to get messages or the master begins to get messages back, and one guy says, well, you know, I was planning on coming, but I just bought some property. I just bought some land, and I got to go see it. That's a lame excuse, right? You bought some property, and you got to go see it. Did you not see it before you bought it? Could you not see it after the banquet? Don't you realize there's going to be good food there and good drink and people and relationships? Don't you realize this is a celebration? And you're going to go see your dirt and grass? But then they're real polite about it, right? I'm going to go see this land. Will you please excuse me from the banquet? The next guy, same thing. Like, here's the excuse. You ready? And people, we do really good. We start as kids like, my dog ate it or something like that. But then we get more sophisticated. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, which means he's a very wealthy person. He's a wealthy man. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. That means that's one yoke because it's 2 oxen together. And by the way, 2 that are yoked up together can do even more work. This is like a Ford F-450 or something. I don't know. And maybe you're like, a Ford? It's a Dodge, whatever. Chevrolet, Silverado. You pick it. He's got 5 yoke of oxen, which means he's wealthy enough to purchase it, and it means he's got big enough fields to use them all. So this is a wealthy man, but he's been invited to a banquet. But he's got other priorities. By the way, what are his priorities? I'm a preacher. I could tell you what they are, but I think you know by now, don't you? What is the first man and the second man's priority? Is it the kingdom of God or his own kingdom? That's a hint. Is it the kingdom of God or is it his own kingdom? Multiple choice, you choose later. Is it the king? Is it God, his creator? Is that who has first place in his life or is it him? That was a hint too. You're going to say no to the banquet of God for some cows? But then the third one, and of course after this he says politely, would you please excuse me? The third guy doesn't even make an excuse. He doesn't even ask please excuse me. He just tells him, look, I just got married. I just got married and it's me and my wife now forever and ever. And so they're like, we're married, we're happy. We're going to go down our path to live our life for our plans and our purposes, because isn't this the most important relationship in the world? And you know the answer to that is, right? You know the most important relationship in the world is not marriage. I mean, that's a great relationship. I've been in one 16 years. It's wonderful. But it's not the most important. In fact, many people sacrifice their relationship with God for someone that he made that's not as good as him. And the longer you're married, you probably realize that they're not as good as him. And yet, all the time, I'm dating someone now. I can't really be concerned about the kingdom of God. Or I just got married. I can't really be concerned about the kingdom of God and God's house and his banquet. And it's easy to get distracted, right? Marriage is just one relationship. There are many that can take us away from what matters most. This is an issue of priority, isn't it? This is an issue of priority. And so, Jesus' story really gets to the heart of what's happening around that table where all this is going on. And so finally, in the story that Jesus tells, he says the master, he looks at the servant, and he says,
well, how did the people respond? And he said, they're not coming. And did you notice how the master responded to that? This may surprise you. He got angry. He got angry. Now, back to the big picture of all the people in the building. The big picture with all the people in the building. Now, here's the thing. If all of those people are in that building and the message is being compromised by never talking about God's anger and his wrath and his hatred of sin and hell and the lake of fire, then they've taken away from the message, right? They've taken away from the message. And if you fill up a building, a house, by taking away from the message, that's not good. Let's add to that, because I hear this all the time. I listen to a lot of sermons, a lot. I study a lot of churches. I'm weird. It's just what I do. And here's what I've noticed. Not only do some people take away from the message in that way, some people will actually say this. You'll hear them say this, and I'm sure they're well-meaning, maybe some of them. They'll say, listen, God's not angry at you. God's not angry at you. He loves you. God is not angry with you. Who told you he's angry?
Oh, this is a good God. He's angry at people. Is he like your drunk dad?
No, he's not like your drunk dad, who's out of control in his rebellion and wickedness against God, of which, by the way, God is angry at. No, he is a righteous and just and moral being who is holy and perfect and pure, and he is rightly or righteously angry at sin. Righteously. He's righteously angry at the false priorities that we put up in our lives. And so if somebody tells you otherwise, they're just trying to fill buildings for the wrong reasons. Okay, think about it this way. We saw it in the story that Jesus told. The master was angry. But just so that you see this, think about Nahum chapter 1 with me. Nahum is in the Old Testament. It's one of the prophets. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. I mean, God is angry at sin. And Satan, yes, and sinners. You say, that's the Old Testament. I knew you would say that. That's why I had Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Well, here's what that means, that God's wrath, his holy indignation, is against sinners. Now, I could leave that out. We could leave that out. But you don't want to leave that out unless you think you know more than God. Unless you're going to elevate your own authority above the authority of God's word. Unless you have a different motive in filling a house. Unless you'd like to fill houses for your own kingdom and glory. But that doesn't negate the question, does God want his house to be full? Full of what? That's the question, I guess. So Revelation 19, you know, Jesus, when he comes back, he's coming back, second coming, verse 15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Here's the thing. The master is angry at sin and sinners and Satan. And so if someone stands up in front of the audience and says, God is not angry at you, that's their message and their authority. Even if it's mixed in with a lot of other Bible verses and cute sayings. But if you're concerned with God and his authority and his truth and his word, then that's part of the message that you can't leave out and you can't take away. And so, but how does the master in the story respond? Yes, he's angry, but he says, fine. If they don't want to come, and by the way, in the story here, this first group of people is representative of the majority of the Jews in the first century. The majority of the Jews in the first century, especially those who were sitting around the table with Jesus, the Pharisees and the leaders, though their time has not come to completion, because remember, we've talked about this, some of them come to know Christ. Joseph of Arimathea was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. I'm sure there were others we don't have recorded. But many of them, they missed the kingdom. They missed the king. They rejected, I mean, yes, they had listened to, in some ways, I guess, the law and the prophets and the Psalms. I mean, they liked Moses and his five books, the Torah, the first five books.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They liked the prophets, some of them, at least when they didn't really get to their heart, because then they would kill them, which they always done, Jesus told them. And then they also liked the Psalms too. But here's the thing. When God came to earth and was sitting in front of them, they did not like him. Remember, we talked about this in the weeks past. They wanted to kill him. And so Jesus is saying, yeah, that's y'all. Blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God. All right. Jesus is saying, by the way, you're not going there unless you listen to what I'm saying to you today, Jesus said. Unless you listen to what I'm saying today. And so here's what the master says. He says, fine, go out into the streets and the lanes. Go into the where the people are. Go where the people are in the streets and the lanes and just find anybody who'll come to the banquet. Find anybody, as many people as you possibly can. Go even to the people who might even be more inclined to listen to you because maybe they're poor, they have nothing else. It's easy for people who have land and who have oxen to be distracted, maybe, but go out to the poor. Yeah. Go to the poor, Mr. Servant. And then, Mr. Servant, once you go to the poor, go to the cripple, because nobody invites him anywhere, because that would be too much of a hassle. We talked about that last week. Go to the poor, the crippled, the lame, and go to the blind, because if you really brought them to the banquet, you probably would have to go pick them up. And that'd be really hard to do, especially if you just live for yourself. You'd have to go pick them up, take them. Would that we could fill up 100 vans. We've got one, we fill it up, great. Would that we could fill up 1,000. Depends on your motive, right? Depends on what you're doing. Go get people, the master says to the servant. He says, look, I already did that, master. You caught it in the story? He said, I already did that. I filled up as many vans as possible, and I brought them to the banquet. And this is the first time some of those people have ever eaten anything like this. And they couldn't wait to come. You always, so many people, they try to go find people that they think is going to give them advantage. Go find anybody who'll come, he says. Anybody. But you got to ask them. And realize that when you ask, some people are going to say no, and they're going to reject you. But if you take it personally, you'll stop doing it. And then, by the way, realize that some people you ask, they're going to tell you yes, and they'll never show up. And if you're doing it for you, you'll stop doing it then because it won't feel good. But you don't do it for you unless your motive is for you. And so he says, go get those people. And the servant says, I've already done that. But, did you miss it? But there's still empty seats. There's still room, right? There's some room up here. I mean, I know David put on deodorant this morning. Why is nobody sitting by him? What's wrong with Doug? What's wrong with Doug? Jenny Williams, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with Jenny? Okay, did you brush your teeth this morning, Jenny? I know she did. They look white. Yes, she did. There's still room, he says, even though you filled up you brought all those people. All right, that's great. Now here's what I want you to do. Because what's the goal? What's the goal of the master? Did you miss it? Full house. Not what you used to watch. Get that out of your mind. Not that kind of full house. It's a better house than that. He said, here's what I want you to do. Go to, I don't know, the highways. Go to the highways. And a good one to start might be, I don't know, Highway 77. It's going to come up in a second. All right. You're driving down 759, it's possibly 1 mile off. You're driving down 59, you're going north, and you're like, yeah, Highway 79, Atala, Rainbow City. I'm going there. He says, go to Highway 77. Did Jesus know about Highway 77? Of course he did. Of course he did. He said, go to the highways, because that's where people are. And then go to the hedges. Hedges, that's kind of weird. Hedges are those little greenery shrubs that you put around and that are in neighborhoods today, and maybe it's because the people are in the neighborhoods. Go to the highways and the hedges where the people are. And here's what I want you to do. This may sound weird to you, okay? He says, when you go to those places, Mr. Servant, compel them. Compel them. Don't just invite them. Don't just, like if you're walking by, hey, you want to go? Okay, fine. No, he says, compel. You know what the word compel means, right?
Compel means persuade. Try to talk them into it. Do everything that you can. And you're, it's not you, but remember, the master has a banquet. Compel them to come into his kingdom, to come into his household, to come in. He wants a full house. Compel them. Now, you know, have you heard of the Inquisitions before in church history? The Inquisitions where some people, honestly, you know, they took this passage. They did. They took this passage, many of them, and they said, you know, the word compel means here force them. And so this is where you get the whole idea of people being forced into Christianity and forced into the church. Look, if they won't believe, shoot them. That's not what he's saying here. Or here's, if they won't become Christians, just make them. Like, you get kicked out of the city if you don't. You get kicked out of the state church if you don't. That's compelling them in. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is do everything that you can to persuade, reason with them, everything. Just come. It's a banquet. You're going to love it. It's fantastic. It's a celebration. You see the idea? He says, go, because they're not going to come to you. They don't even know the banquet exists. They don't even know the banquet exists. They don't even know their need for the master. You've got to go to them. And when you do, compel them to come in where? What did he say? To my house. So here's the house with some drawings, okay? And the whole idea, right? Unless I'm making this up. The whole idea is that God has a house and he wants every room to be full. Every room to be full. Now, how does he fill the rooms? It's a good question. He sends out servants. He sends out servants to invite people to the banquet, to the feast, to the celebration. Did you know this, sir? This is, if you're a Christian, this is why you're here. Ultimately. Now, there are other things. And you should have land. And you can have cars and transportation. You need to get places. That's fine. And you can even have relationships. If you want to get married, God gives you a spouse, get married. Have friends, all that. But do not let those things take priority over your main mission. Do not let your kingdom, which we all have to have one to some degree. I mean, you got a last name, you got a place to live, I mean, all those things. But why do you have those things? Why do you have children? Is it just for you? Or are you raising up your children for his glory, to serve his kingdom, to invite other people into his family? That changes the way that you raise children, by the way. That changes your purpose in children. Some people, this is true, right? Some people have children because they want them. They like how it makes them feel. They have something to do now. And though they would not say it, their children really exist for them. Maybe they don't feel loved. Maybe they don't feel this. And so they have children, and now somebody's going to love me. Well, that's not healthy. That's not good. There's a better way. And of course, your children, you should love them, and they should love you. But what is the purpose? What is the goal? If not for the glory of God, if not for the sake of his kingdom, if not for the sake of his mission, this is what Jesus is saying. And so, it brings me back to the question. Does God want his house to be full? What do you think? And if so, is that what you should be about doing? In the midst of your eating and drinking, in the midst of your land and cars, in the midst of all the things that you do that are part of life, in the midst of marriage and family, all those things. Well, to me, the answer is clear. Yes, fill my house. And then if you fill one house, don't just buy a big house. That's what some people have done, right? Some people have said, we want to fill his house. So we're going to buy a house with 8 bedrooms. It's a $40 million house with 8 bedrooms. We're going to fill it up. Really? How many kids you got? One. But we're going to have more. No. Just wait. And then do bigger. Or this is how the churches will do it, right? Man, we're going to build it and they're going to come. We're going to build a 2,000-seat sanctuary. And boy, look, give me some more money. Like, Give me some more money. It's going to be $20 million. You're just selfish. Give me more money. And then you build it. And I don't know. And then you start having to do things to make people come, like the gimmick stuff. Park cars out here and make it look like people are here. And then they'll come, or do it on the interstate. And all these kind of gimmicky things. But we're not talking about that. I'm asking you, does God want his house to be filled? I mean, what if we could fill up this room and then other rooms? And then I said yes to that principle, and we filled up that one. And it wasn't worshiping golden calves, and it wasn't compromising the message. What if God did it through us by inviting and compelling and praying? And it was for him. Does he want a full house? Revelation chapter 7 says this: in the end, the kingdom will be full. And it will be full of people from every tribe and tongue and nation. In fact, this is what drives me. Christ drives me. And this vision that he has given. Chapter 7, verse 9 through 10. After this, John says, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Is that a lot of people? Yeah, nobody can even number them. There's so many. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. And they're all clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out with a loud voice. They're not dull. They're crying with a loud voice. What if every week we came here to celebrate God and we cried out to him? We sought him. We loved him. Don't give me this. Half-hearted. No, salvation, they says, belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I think that's it. Fill my house, says the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, some of us have seen so many gimmicks, and we've been abused by so many, oftentimes, prideful, arrogant, fraudulent people, and sometimes even well-meaning people who had the right heart but just took things into their own hands and tried to do it their way, Lord. But God, I pray that the imbalances at best and the false teachers at worst would not hinder us from being used as instruments in your hands to fill your house for your glory and eternal praise. And so, Lord, help us even to prioritize things in our lives. You know how easy it is for us to misplace priorities. And so bring us back to a focus this morning. And Lord, I pray that not in our own strength and power, but in yours, that together, not me, I'm just one part of the body, Lord, but that a whole body would be about filling your house. So much more than this building that we meet in right now, oh God, but not less than it. Lord, I pray that we would live for your mission, more and better disciples, deeper and wider. Oh God, please. Pour out your spirit and empower us, strengthen us, lead us. And by the way, if there's anybody here this morning who you've never surrendered to King Jesus, you've never entered into his kingdom yourself personally, what are you waiting for? There's a banquet for you. And I want to plead with you to come to the banquet. You are invited this morning. You are invited this morning to God's eternal banquet. Would you come? and then identify with him publicly through baptism. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Right now, just cry out to him, Lord, I recognize my sin. I turn away from my sin. I trust in you. I'm tired of trusting in myself and living for myself. I trust you. And so as we sing this next song together, you respond, whatever that looks like. You could look 1,000 ways with everybody in here. Just respond to God. We'd love to pray for you, talk to you about anything that God's doing in your life. I'll be up front. Heather will be here. Tommy, if you could be over here, and Butch and Pam, would you guys mind coming right over here?